The Acts of the Apostles, Sunday morning, 10/20/24. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 14. Okay. We thought we were just going to be the same, like this is life, and we just might as well face it. That was a revelation to me. Thank you, Lord. We're actually going to have a life again. Now, I won't be apart from him. All right. Acts 14, 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that you must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Let me see where I stopped there. Okay. One of the duties of an apostle is to ordain elders in every church. Elders are elderly or older or senior. Now, put that in a spiritual context. I mean, there's not a lot of young people that are very mature. They just haven't had the years to get there. So I would say a lot of the elders in the church are going to be older. They're going to be seniors, naturally speaking. Lord, Danny had a word about, it takes so many years for a person to get that maturity in the first place. It just takes the years. Just like it takes the years, it took 70 years for me to get to 70 years. So that, as far as spiritual things, it just takes time for the maturity to come to be able to handle the responsibility. All right. Titus 1:5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So that's what the apostles do. They're going to set up churches, and they are going to select elders, bishops, pastors, whatever you want to call them, to be over the fellowships. Right. Ordain means to designate. God will pick them out. We'll go to Acts 13. Acts 13 is a sure sign. This is not by man's selection. This is by God's selection. And we've got to get back to that in the church. The daddy called and all these, come up through the ranks crap. That's got to stop. Because there is no come up through the ranks unless it's God's rank, not man's. All right. Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that were called Niger, and Lysias of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And it says, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and thence they sailed to Cyprus. So this is a Holy Ghost ordaining and sending out. The Lord said through a word that Danny had that at times I would pray over those that are not apostles, but I would impart the anointing of them to some of the apostolic work for a temporary time. Seems that is the case here. In other words, if something gets too big, then you've got to designate your authority. That's kind of like Moses. That's the example he gave. Moses with His father-in-law came to him and said, you're standing here day and night judging the people's not wise, so break them up into companies. Select these men and put them over, I think it was 50s and 70s, whatever. I should have known 70. Anyway, so that they could take on the responsibility to help him judge so he didn't wear himself out. Well, that's why you need people on your team that are mature, because they got to be able to step in, maybe, if they have to. All right. Here's what my Bible commentary says about this. An apostle is one sent with a commission according to the faith of God's elect with a view to. Hence, Paul was made an apostle to call the elect to faith in Christ by preaching the gospel to all men. Titus is to set in order the church. The church has been established but needed to be organized to function effectively, ordain elders in every city. Elders were to be appointed in every city to rule and teach in the churches. God has been speaking to us a while about divine order. I went to lunch the other day with a friend, and a couple that we've been speaking over, calling them in, they walked right up to me at the restaurant. I didn't even recognize the woman, and the man sat there like I had lobsters coming out of my head, and I'm just going, what in the world? This is creepy. He come over later and said, I thought you were somebody else, and I was trying to place you. There was another Carla that they knew, and he was trying to fit that other Carla with my face and thinking, this is... But he just sat there with this blank stare, and I'm thinking, this is awkward, Lord. But anyway, see, that's the way the Lord's going to do it. There's a whole group of them we've been speaking over. I was saying, okay, you know, I think it's begun. Because we've had that happen again with someone in Lavateca. Someone we hadn't seen 40 years plus. Yeah. Some of them are intercessors. Some are pastors. Some are prophets. Some are even maybe going to be apostles, you know. Just don't know for sure. Okay. All right. Let me turn the page here. Apostles are ambassadors of the gospel. They do have signs and wonders following their ministries. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Like we were talking about last week, about Paul did all these signs and miracles and wonders, and here comes the seven sons of Sceva. We're going to do the same thing Paul did, and then the devil run them out, and they were naked and bleeding. So you do it under the anointing. You don't do it under your own flesh. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There's not any apostles around. Could that be why there's no signs and wonders in the church? No power? Just saying. All that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This was a supernatural endeavor. This was not I think I'll start me a church. We'll just do what we need to do. That's not the way it comes about. This is what a sign is, a mark to indicate or to signify. In other words, God's there. All right. Acts chapter 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. You know what? That's God's calling card, is healing. You know, when somebody gets healed, they're going to come to the Lord a whole lot easier, aren't they? If God meets a need in their life. And that's what happened here. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The power of God's working. Why? They're doing it His way. That's usually the reason. This is right here, wonders, a prodigy or an omen. It's a sign. This is what the Lord spoke to me on 8/22/24 in the morning. As your credibility grows, so will your respectability. Credibility, the quality of being trusted and believed in. Respectability, the state and quality of being respectable. Character and reparation. Even Jesus, with all his credibility and respectability, was crucified. Think of Paul and his long list of things he went through. As your credibility and respectability grow, so will the responsibility. The Lord also said that he would start us out slowly and gradually increase the responsibility so as to not overwhelm us. It's kind of like coming out of this deep sea diving, this deep sea walk. Not just for me, but also for my team. As more responsibility comes, the team will increase. He will link up his apostolic teams across this nation. That's kind of a confession that we make. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 15. This is just a refresher as we come to this new time. Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitudes kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and will build again in the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So you see here, they're thinking natural. They're thinking, let's build the temple again. I touched on that in the broadcast this morning. Yeah. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. This is what these epistles are. these letters. Paul wrote letters to the churches. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare you well. That right there is what all the underground dumps have been going on for all these centuries right there. That's that right there, what we're dealing with today. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted their brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after that they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. So they made a decision in the church, and it was passed down to the whole church. See, that's the place we have to get to. We're one body moving as one, and we all speak the same things. We all say the same things. We all come under the same doctrine. Right? Same doctrine. See, there's so many schism in the body. That's what Paul's saying. One saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Paulus. Well, these are men. We're not of men. We're of God. So that's what is going to have to be laid down. And that's what the Lord was speaking to me. That's something that, you know, we're talking about not burning bridges, but building bridges. And there'll have to be some diplomacy there to ease people over and everything. But this has to be set down. The truth has to be set down so that we don't get back into all these little rules and regulations, traditions of men that nullify the power of God. All right, disputes will have to be settled among the churches. Last week, the Lord talked about building a bridge, not burning it down. That's diplomacy. Apostles check up on the fellowships as well as confirm them. Verse 41 here, it says, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. This is Paul and Silas. Checking on, there's some oversight has to go on. Here's what it confirming means. Oversight, establish, and reestablish. In other words, correction if needed. If it starts going off the rails. All right, I have Proverbs 20:18 here. Let's see what that says. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. No more lone wolves. You know what I'm saying? No more lone wolves. We're just doing our thing out here. Nobody tells me what to do. No, it's not going to be that way anymore. God doesn't want that. There has to be accountability. Every purpose is established by counsel. With good advice, make war. How can we do a warfare against the enemy if we do not strategically plan together as the body, as a whole? All right. This is where the intercessors will be of tremendous value. Problems need answers, not the answers from men, but wise counsel from God. See, they get God's secrets. He does not disclose anything lest he reveal it to his servants, the prophets. You can get mad at the prophets if you want to, but that's what God does. He reveals his secrets to them. And when they speak for God, they're speaking for God. Proverbs 24:6, for be by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So they had a council in Jerusalem of elders, apostles, prophets. We want God's plan and not the plans of man. We've already had the plans of man. They don't work. It's a fail. All right, the Lord continues, all the churchy traditions that are not of me are going away. You will not be a part of that. Don't, the Lord said, don't even touch it with your mind how you think it's going to be, because if you do, you can look, you start thinking churchy and how it used to be and who did what. No. And those that don't want to conform, then go on with the ugly self. I don't care. That is something that, that's between the person and God. If they don't want to do it the right way, they want to be alone with, woof, okay, have at it, see how it works out. Okay. See where I left off here. The Lord says that he pulled us out of that. You will not have to make a connection with them, for they are the old guard, as you once thought. If they correct themselves, then they will try to connect with you. Do you hear that? The old guard, if for some reason they come to their senses and they correct themselves, they'll seek you out instead of you trying to seek them out and join up with them. No, they'll want to join up with you. If they correct themselves, then they will try to reconnect with you. Not the other way around. I pulled you out of that, so no longer think that way. I have made the way, and it won't be through them as you once thought. See, it's always about you had to conform and be under somebody and come up through the ranks, or you weren't nothing, or you were not recognized. Jesus said, I am the way. I will not send you back into it. I am doing it my way now. If the old guard did not accept me, they will not accept you either. Well, I already know that. My way is not the traditional churchy way. Renew your mind to just simply moving by my spirit, nothing more, nothing less. Isn't that what Jesus did? He just got up every day and just, Father said, go here. He went there. Father said, do this. He did that. It's pretty simple, isn't it? All right. Renew your mind to just simply moving by my spirit, nothing more, nothing less. When I was on the earth, I mainly went against those traditions. The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated me because I followed the Holy Spirit, exposed them for the frauds they were. Because I followed the Holy Spirit's Spirit, Father's power flowed through me, and it will flow through you as you follow the Holy Spirit. The old guard will get angry because they don't have any power. Father's power is not with them. That is why the people flock to me and not the frauds. They knew they were frauds. They said, I have no power. They have always been hypocrites. Just follow me, and I will manifest my power through you as I did through the apostles of old. It will also manifest in your company at times. I passed on my anointing to my apostles to do the same work that I was doing. You know, he sent out the 12, well, it was the 12 disciples, and then he called them the apostles, and they sent out the 70. Don't waste your time or grieve over those who won't, but rejoice with those who will get on board. I told my disciples to bring the message of the kingdom and not to argue or fight with those that did not receive it. But I told them to shake off the dust of their feet against them and go somewhere else. Don't argue with people. There is no time to cry over spilt milk in these days. You will be running to keep up. I'll connect you with others like you, and you will hook up and share the work. Not all old guard will lose their reward, so don't be concerned for them, for they will receive their reward for their obedience. The Christian scene is about to change, as well as the natural scene. But see, what happens in the spirit, it will reflect in the natural, but it will happen in the spirit first. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Don't let that unleaven into your house, that leaven, to try to leaven you into your house. Okay, 1 John 4. Starting with verse 1 there. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, without exception. I don't care who they are. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. I don't care how good they sound in the scriptures they quote. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Well, you can tell how few hear God, huh? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if they cast you off as stupid and make fun of you, you better rejoice saying, well, I can see why. They're not receiving the right spirit. They're not receiving the Lord. They're under the influence of Antichrist. The church has been infiltrated with Antichrist. Okay, 1 John 2. 14. I've written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye shall overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same shall not the hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So what is he saying here? That spirit's really strong, that Antichrist spirit. So you got to know who you are, and you need to be listening to the Lord and not to your flesh. It'll get you into trouble. The church will have to be brought back into divine order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, Paul said this, let all things be done decently and in order. This is what decently is, decorously, well-formed and noble. Order is arrangement, fixed succession in time, and official dignity. All right. I probably read it last week, but it's in Ephesians 4. The goal here is to be graced and placed. We're going to read Ephesians 4. That's where that came out of, because that is the goal. Starting with verse 1 there, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, who is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. There's that deep sea diver. He descended, but he ascended back up. He went to hell. Pretty deep. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are to look like a man. It's kind of like Tommy Hicks' vision of the giant man that was really the body of Christ, because it melted in the earth. It was people going forth and they were just had fire, like fire. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of him, Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what I want to say to you today, and this is what this whole thing is about, it's about recognizing there is one body. There might be many churches, but every body, every part, every church is all in unity, believing the same thing, saying the same thing, moving with God's plan. Not just this and a doing this out there. Like I said, we are just body parts all over the place with no connection. God wants to connect it all back. So we are the body of Christ moving in the earth. We speak the same thing. We don't argue about doctrine. We got it down. That's the goal. One more scripture here. 1 Corinthians 12. For as one body, or as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Spirit's going to be saying the same thing, right? Now there may be variations depending on where your fellowship is and what your individual assignments are, but you know what I'm saying. The overall general movement of the body of Christ will be the same goal. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? We're not just some big eyeball out there. But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant commonness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. No matter what God's called you to do, you have the same love and esteem for each other. Because you know, I can't do this without you. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. What does that say, covet the best gifts? I think that's deferment. Well, brother, you got more expertise than that. We're going to let you take the lead, you know, instead of, well, I got it all here and nobody else has anything else. No, that's not going to be the way it is. And of course, 13 talks about the love walk. We're no longer in competition with one another, but we're moving as a body in sync with one another. All right.